back in Bowling Green. Of all the places I've been in my ministry, I truly can say that I enjoy it, my time here. God bless me with a few years and has certainly put a lot of good people in my life. And I say that with all sincerity. I appreciate you. Before I get started, I asked Brother Miller prior to service we got here, and I said, "Aren't you a little nervous?" He said, "No, I can just always shut the switch off." I said, "You're going to give me 40 minutes, be last, and what I know?" He didn't even back up. My subject, go ahead, you can put this on tape. My subject is forgiveness, and it seems like maybe it's probably a simple subject, right? But it goes pretty deep in a lot of areas. And of late, in the last year or so, I have been struggling with this subject. It's one thing to say, to forgive. But if we've all been saved by the grace of God, which hopefully you haven't, and if you haven't, you need to be forgiven by God, by the way. I'll just say that right out of the box. So we all have most of us here tonight, or today, have something, some knowledge of forgiveness if you've been saved by God's grace. I mean, it's the most important thing that'll ever happen in your life. The best forgiveness that you'll ever get is that. But my goal today is to try to talk about a subject I believe is easy to tell others about, but is not easy to implement in one's own life. Forgiveness, what it is, how to do it, is it important in your Christian walk? And these may seem like easy questions to answer, but they are easy questions. Are they easy questions to apply in our everyday lives? Because there's a lot of information about forgiveness in the Bible. And I really believe it's probably touched every one of your lives in some form or some fashion. And we've not all dealt like we should with the subject. I'm sure of that. And you know what? Satan knows that as well today. He knows what gets us. He knows what will bring us down. He can't touch our souls if we've been saved by the grace of God and have that eternal forgiveness from Him. But he can sure mess us up, can't he? With the help of an almighty God, I'm going to endeavor to give you some insight on this subject with the hope that at the very least I would be able to do is to get you to examine your life. And I mean that wholeheartedly. And how this subject may impact it. I, for one, can tell you this subject has been affecting my own life this past year and a half. And in my opinion, it's not a very easy subject to come to grips with. It can make you hateful. It can make you spiteful. It can make you mean. You tell me if you're hateful, spiteful, and mean, how am I going to be able to be as God would want us to be, reaching a lost and dying world with the greatest love that man has ever known? And the very subject of forgiveness, friends, can have that impact on you. I know. I have been wrestling with it. And I'm not here to seek forgiveness from you all. I'm just seeking your prayers that we might all come to grips with the subject of forgiveness. Some of you may agree with the things I say tonight, but that, you know, some of you might not agree with all of it, but that's not my goal. My goal, as I stated, my goal is to get us to have a conversation and to get us to think about it in our own lives. That's all my subject is about. God's amazing forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's the key to freedom, by the way, with our walk with the Lord. I'm telling you, you can't walk in this world and be the child of God you should be with bitterness in your heart. You can't, and don't even think you can try. And some of us have been trying for years, in one sense or another. And I'm not going to get into details. I don't know your lives, but you do. I know mine. I didn't think divorce would ever touch my family, but it did. one of my sons, you know, and the means, and some of you know the means whereabout this came, and I'm getting a little personal, but I want you to understand the subject matter with me today. It's important that we understand, and we need to learn how to truly forgive as God forgives, and understand the meaning of that, and the release, and the freedom that can come with true forgiving someone. I'll talk more about that than being saved today. But you can't really understand forgiveness until you've been saved by the grace of God anyway. My opinion. But you know what? The Bible says that sin is no respecter of persons. It teaches that. That it will reach out and touch every one of you in every aspect of your life in some form or some fashion. It'll do it. It'll grab you before you even realize and understand it. It'll affect your family. Satan hates the family, by the way. He wants to destroy the family. And if he can get to you as a child of God, then my friend, he's made inroads into the children of God. Forgiveness. The act of forgiving, the pardon of an offender by which he considers and treated as not guilty. The forgiveness of the enemies is a Christian's duty. The pardon of the pardon or remission of an offense or crime as the forgiveness of sin or injuries, disposition to pardon, willingness to forgive, remission of a debt, fine or penalty. Seems like an easy enough definition, but start putting that into your life. If you're harboring anger, you're harboring a forgiveness that needs to be taken care of, it's like a ball and chain. It'll weigh you down. I know. Been fighting it, friends. I know. And it just, you know, Satan knows how to get to someone to make them not as effective. Mark Twain once quoted, he says, "Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet shed on the heels that are crushed in it." The ultimate forgiveness is when we are forgiven of our sins and given eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Certain things had to happen before this could take place in anyone's heart. Godly sorrow needs to set upon us in our hearts of the wrong, which is the sorrowfulness or of our guilt before God, feeling the condemnation of our guilt, the wrongfulness of our sins. Then repentance towards God. Without repentance, no one can find forgiveness. Before God gives grace and faith, there is repentance. So there's an order, is what I'm getting at. If we look at our salvation, friend, we were brought aware of our guiltiness, weren't we? And it made us feel bad. And there was godly sorrow. That was a God putting that upon our hearts. And we had to understand that. And then what did we have to do? We had to repent of that, did we not? Did we not have to be sorrowful for the wrong that we did towards God, the guilt that we had? The same principles are the same in forgiveness. When we get past salvation. Forgiveness. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, the 10th verse says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrows of the world worketh death." Forgiveness. The words of the Lord's Prayer embody the gospel of forgiveness. "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As we forgive, so are we forgiven. It is a prerogative of God only to forgive sins, and forgiveness is offered fully and freely to all those who truly repent and believe. Man is taught to have the forgiving spirit irrespective of repentance of the other party's interest." And I think that's an interesting thought, and keep that in mind as I go along here. Let me read it again. I'll slow down. "Man is taught to have the forgiving spirit irrespective of the repentance of the other party interested." I'll let that soak in. We find in the Bible many who have prayed for forgiveness, many who sought for forgiveness, and many promises of forgiveness. I would like to look at some of those people and some of those places where forgiveness is taught and promised to us. By this we may learn something. We may learn a bit about how to forgive and who can be forgiven. By looking into the Word of God, we might just find ourselves in the pages of the Bible. I certainly did. Forgiveness, my friend, is a choice. You can go all the rest of the days of your life and not forgive someone you should forgive. I'm not sure about the quality that you'll have in your spiritual walk with the Lord, because I'll guarantee you that if you're harboring things such as this, that they will eat at you. They have to be. If you've truly been saved by the grace of God, friends, and you don't forgive others, I mean, that's what our whole walk is about. That's what our Baptist beliefs hinge on. Is it not forgiveness? Isn't that the very first thing anyone needs in this life? You don't need to know about baptism. You don't need to know about the Lord's Supper. But you certainly need to know about being saved by God's grace and having God's forgiveness. And so it's a pivotal point in our beliefs. It should be, I think. So forgiveness is a choice. When you say, I can't forgive that person, what you're really saying is, I'm choosing not to forgive that person. If you say, I can forgive, you'll find yourself moving towards forgiving them. Sometimes it helps to think of how others have forgiven under incredible circumstances. I want to keep the following quotes in mind if you're finding it hard to generate positive feelings for a person. And I've quoted a lot of different areas here. One of them is, those who are the hardest to love need it the most. Follow peace with all men and holiness, Hebrews 12:14. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Hating someone is drinking poison and expecting the other person to die from it. If we could read the secret history of our enemy, we would find in each man's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm all hostility. Longfellow said that. Do unto others as you would have them to do to you. Does that sound familiar? That's the golden rule. It's easy to say, but friends, I'm just what I hope that you get out of this today, that when you walk out these doors, you'll think about forgiveness in a different light, in a different manner. Because your life could be so much easier and free, my friend, because there's freedom in forgiveness. Be kind, for all you meet are fighting a great battle. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. But whosoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing to him to make him stumble. 1 John 2:9-10. The hatred you're carrying in a life is a live coal in your heart, far more damaging to yourself than to them. Let's just go on, but you get the point. Many have talked about it, but it's still so much harder to implement in one's life. So much harder. The Aramaic word for forgiveness literally means to untie. Untie. Loose. The fastest way to free yourself from an enemy and all associated negativity is to forgive. Untie the bindings and loose yourself from the person's ugliness. Your hatred has tied you to that person's responsible for your pain. Your forgiveness enables you to start walking away from him or her and the pain. Forgiveness is for you and not the other party. I want you to understand that. I believe that with all my heart. Irrespective of the other party, you need to forgive them and move on with whatever they may do, because your association may never be the same. Things have changed because sin has crept into people's lives, but you need to forgive so you can let go and move on and do the things that God would have you to do. As I said, it's much easier to teach than to implement in one's life. Your forgiveness enables you to start walking away from him or her and the pain. Forgiveness is for you and not the other party. Freeing yourself through forgiveness is like freeing yourself from the chains of bondage or from prison. If you've ever really truly forgiven someone that has caused great pain in your life, you'll know what I'm talking about. One of the hardest and most difficult things we as humans can ever call upon to do is to respond to evil with kindness and to forgive the unforgivable. We love to read stories about people who have responded to hatred with love. But when the very thing is demanded of us personally, our default seems to be anger. Amen. That's me. And dread or anguish, depression. Righteousness. Hatred, etc. Yet study after study shows that one of the keys to longevity and good health is to develop a habit of gratitude and to let go of the past. Hurts. It'll physically change your life. You want to live a long, happy life? Forgive the unforgivable. It is really the kindest thing you can do for yourself. Your enemy may not deserve or to be forgiven for all the pain and sadness and suffering and the personal, purposeful infliction on your life, but you deserve to be free of the evil. And Landers once wrote, "Hate is like the acid. It damages the vessel in which it is stored and destroys the vessel on which it is poured." It is not uncommon for Christians to have questions about forgiveness. Forgiveness does not come easy for the most of us, and our natural instincts is what? To recoil, is it not? Into self-protection. When we've been injured, when we do what we do naturally is overflow. We do not naturally overflow with mercy, grace, and forgiveness when we've been wronged. When all that went about in our family, the first thing I wanted to do was shoot somebody. Me. And I love people. But by the grace of God, I didn't. By the love of God, I didn't. But that's our natural instinct. Some may be worse than others. I don't know. I never would have thought myself that type of person, but when something touches you and your family in such a way, in such a manner, in ugliness as it was, my friend, it just stirs the nature of who we are. We're just sinners is all we are. Our nature is to fight and battle against all the goodness that God would show us and want us to understand. That's what you should be fighting every day. Every day we need to what? Seek God to forgive us, don't we? Is that not what the Bible says? That daily we should reach out to our Savior and say, "Oh Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner." It's not uncommon for Christians to have questions, as I said. Is forgiveness a conscious choice? A physical act involving the will? Or is it a feeling, an emotion, state of being? The Bible offers insight, by the way, and answers to these many more questions about forgiveness. Let us take a look at some of these questions and find out what the Bible says about forgiveness. Number one, is forgiveness a conscious choice or emotional state? Forgiveness is a choice we make through a decision of our will motivated by the obedience of God. Because it's what God wants. And His command to forgive. God's never had robots, friends, by the way. He's never made you do a thing. He's put a godly conscience in you that you might understand right from wrong, but you're still going to seek Him. You're still going to need to seek Him in your will in His life. And so I say you can walk through your days in this world being an angry, bitter person when all you needed to do was forgive that person or that thing that happened to you in your life and move on and be free from it. The Aramaic word means to literally untie yourself from it. That's what God would have you to do. Forgiveness is a choice we make through a decision of our will motivated by obedience to God. The Bible instructs us to forgive as the Lord forgave us. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It's easy to read. It's easy to read. Two, how do we forgive when we don't feel like it? How do we translate the decision to forgive into a change of heart? See, I think you can have lip service to the process. And I'm just, this whole lesson is, I guess, my friend, if you really want to know, it's about me and what I've been wrestling with and trying to reach a point where I can forgive those that I've come to so much just really hate. And that's a hard word, my friend. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there, my friend. I want to be able to be like my God in some manner and be able to forgive people and move on with my life, that I might tell them about the real forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We forgive by faith, out of obedience. You know what I learned? I learned I can't do this by myself. And so I'm going to have to trust my God. I'm going to have to trust Him to help me through. If you're ever to forgive someone for some wrong or some slight in your life, my friend, you're going to have to trust God and believe in faith that He will help you through it. Since forgiveness goes against our nature, we must forgive by faith, whether we feel like it or not. We must trust God to do the work in us that needs to be done so that forgiveness will be complete. God honors our commitment to obey Him and our desire to please Him when we choose to forgive. He completes the work in His time. We must continue to forgive by faith until the work of forgiveness, the Lord's job, is done in our hearts. We must continue to go to God but ask for the help that we need. I mean, brethren, you keep going until it gets done by God's timing and God's grace, knowing that He can get it done. You know something? There's nothing impossible with my God. Nothing. Not a thing. Also tells me that He's not changed. The God that spoke John this nothing into something can do it all, and He's not changed. Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's it saying? Trust God, trust God, trust God. Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Trust Him. How will we know if we have truly forgiven? There are days I think I got it licked. And some little thing happens, and I just seem like I lose all my ground that I'd gained, and I have to start over. It's true. I'm just weak. Lewis B. Smeads wrote in his book, Forgive and Forget, when you release the wrongdoer from the wrong, you cut a malignant tumor out of your inner life. You set a prisoner free, but you discover that the real prisoner was yourself. I enjoyed that quote. Is when you can forgive that person, you cut that tumor that was out of you, my friend. You free yourself. And that's where we need to be. We will know the work of forgiveness is complete when we experience the freedom that comes as a result. We are the ones who suffer most when we choose not to forgive. When we do forgive, the Lord sets our hearts free from the anger, from the bitterness, from the resentment, from the hurt that previously imprisoned us. And most times, however, forgiveness is a slow process. I think that's because we're so hard-hearted. Book of Matthew in the 18th chapter in the 21st verse says, then came Peter to Him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not until thee, until seven times, but until 70 times. We've all heard that many times preached, right? What does that really mean? And I came across a thought or an idea that I hadn't thought about in a way in this, and I want to share it with you. The answer by Jesus makes it clear that the forgiveness is not easy for us. It's not a one-time choice and then automatically we live in a state of forgiveness. Forgiveness may require a lifetime of forgiving, but it is important to the Lord. We must continue to forgive until the matter is settled in our hearts. Just keep going to the Lord with it. Keep going to the Lord. Why must we forgive? Why can't I just go on and dislike this person? Part of me would like that, by the way. Part of you may like that scenario. You might like living with bitterness and hatefulness in your heart against someone that has caused you a wrong, and maybe you had nothing to do with it whatsoever. You may get off on that for some reason. I don't know, but I know it's not what God would have us to do. Forgiveness brings freedom, and that's what we need to be as the children of God, free, my friend. We can be set free from this, that we might more be able to accomplish the work that God would have us to do to bring Him honor and glory. Why must we forgive? The best reason to forgive is because Jesus commands us to forgive. I'm generally pretty simple. The best reason to forgive is because Jesus commanded us to forgive. We learn from Scripture, if we do not forgive, neither will we be forgiven. Matthew 6:14-15, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. We also forgive so that our prayers will not be hindered. I'm telling you, walk around with a lot of baggage in your life, friends. You tell me how effective it is that you offer up a prayer onto somebody else's behalf. I don't really think that you can do that effectively. If we ever lived in a time and a day, friends, where we needed prayer warriors to be where they needed to be with God, we're living in it. As my son pointed out, it's our time that God has given us. It's this time that you need to be the prayer warrior. When someone calls you up and to seek seek for you to bend your knee on their behalf. Friends, I've done that many times in my life. But where am I if I'm holding a lot of this anger and bitterness back? Mark, the 11th chapter and 25th verse. And when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. We forgive out of obedience to the Lord. It is a choice. It's a decision we make. However, as we do this forgiving, we discover the command is in place for our own good. And we receive the reward of our forgiveness, freedom. Forgiveness was promised in Scripture many, many places. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the 7th verse says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. Book of Micah in the 7th chapter and the 18th verse says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgressors or the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Book of Acts, the 5th chapter and 31st verse. Him hath God exalted and with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of their sin. 13th chapter and 38th verse. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that though this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him that believe by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Book of James, the 5th chapter and the 15th verse. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Colossians, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Forgive, forgive, forgive. It was promised all through Scripture. I must hurry along. I hope I've begun, by the help of the Lord, to open your hearts and minds to the subject of forgiveness. It really does go past our comprehension and understanding. I want to continue this lesson by taking a look at some of the people in the Bible that got forgiveness from an almighty God, a sovereign God, a great and wonderful God. In some cases, now listen, in some cases, reconciliation is not always possible. But forgiveness is. In some cases, reconciliation, what it once was, can't be the same. You can't put that genie back in the bottle. But forgiveness is always possible. Reconciliation, the definition of that is to restore the restoration of a friendly relations. Synonyms would be reuniting, union, bringing together, fence mending, pacification, appeasement, placating, mollification. The action of making one's view or belief compatible with another. The act of causing two people or groups to become friendly again after an argument or a disagreement. The process of finding a way to make two different sides and ideas of, to come together, exist, or to be true at the same time. Irvin Ball said, most of us can forgive and forget. We just don't want the other person to forget that we forgave them. Oscar Wilde said, always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. Jesus understood the brokenness of the human condition. No one knows the human heart like him. He forgave the tax collector. He forgave the prostitutes. He forgave his friend Peter for betraying him. On the cross, as he looked out, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. He was hanging there because of them. Oh, that it's there, people. Forgiveness is there. Forgiveness is possible through Jesus. Forgiveness, the act of forgiving, the pardon or an offender by which he is considered and treated as not guilty. The forgiveness of an enemy is a Christian duty. The pardon or remission of an offense, crime, as the forgiveness of sin or injury. Remission of a debt, fine, or penalty. Just different things under that definition. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus makes it clear that our forgiveness hinges on our willingness to forgive others. Forgiveness is an important requirement for friendship with God and other people, as well as our own good health. The act of forgiving undergirds our physical, emotional, social, and spiritual needs. Researchers in secular universities are attempting to determine the specific bodily effects that occur when a person forgives or refuses to forgive. So far, they have found that refusal to forgive has a negative effect on physical health. If you've ever dealt with it, you could. I only got one amen, but I dare say you probably all could say amen. It hurts the body physically, the mind. And if your body's not what it needs to be and your mind's not what it should be, my friend, how are we going to fulfill what God wants us to do? To go forth into all the world and preach and teach the gospel of the Son of God, loving them all. He held back from no one. No one did he hold back from. If forgiveness is so an integral part to our health, why do we hold so tightly to our anger? Making ourselves increasingly miserable. One reason comes into our thinking that to forgive lets other offenders off the hook. We want our version of justice, don't we? Retribution. We want the offender to suffer in some way for what he or she has done. That's natural instinct. That's why I said when these things that I've been wrestling with for a year and a half in our life, all the ugliness of it, my friend, and how that it's touched my grandchildren and such, that I wanted to shoot somebody. Natural instinct. And some of you guys, I think it's more men than it is women. I have a tendency sometimes I can compartmentalize things. Put that over there. It doesn't exist. It's not real, don't happen, whatever. And then something brings it right back to the forefront, and then you're in trouble. We also tend to think of that forgiveness requires reconciliation. How could it be like it once was? Well, guess what? It can't. It cannot be the same as it once was. But forgiveness is possible, friends. It is. We also tend to think that forgiveness requires reconciliation, which is not true. Reconciliation or getting back into a relationship again comes only after the act of forgiving and may or may not occur, and sometimes should not occur, depending on the offense. We can always forgive without reconciliation. By forgiving, we let ourselves off the hook of the ongoing misery. Let's look back at the Bible as some references to forgiveness. Mutual forgiveness is commanded in the Scripture. We find in the book of Genesis in the 50th chapter, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sins, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake unto him. Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 23rd and 4th verses. Therefore, if thou wilt bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath an ought against thee, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men neither their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew again, 18th chapter, says, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against thee? I brought this up, but I'll say it again. And forgive him till 7 times? Jesus said unto him, nope, 70 times. Ephesians, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you him. Forgiveness prayed for in Scripture. Exodus, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people has sinned a great sin and hath made them gods of gold. Ye know, if thou wilt forgive, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. He was praying on their behalf to forgive them of the gross sins that they had committed. 1 Kings, the 8th chapter and the 30th verse. And hearken thou unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray towards this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. Psalmist, the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from thy sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. We find many places in the Bible there is a pattern for praying forgiveness. Why? Let's go on just for a second. He said, let us go and look at the secular opinion of forgiveness. When someone you care about hurts you and you can hold on to that anger, resentment, and thoughts of revenge, or embrace forgiveness and not embrace forgiveness and move forward. Nearly everyone has been hurt by an action or words of another. Perhaps your mother criticized your parenting skills, your college sabotaged a project on your partner had an affair. These wounds can leave you with everlasting feelings of anger, bitterness, or even vengeance. Amen. But if you do not practice forgiveness, you might be the one who pays the most dearly for it. By embracing forgiveness, you can also embrace peace, hope, gratitude, and joy. Consider how forgiveness can lead you down the path of physical and emotional and spiritual well-being. And that's a secular view of the act of forgiving. You ever find that even in the secular world and business or whatever that it might be, that God's plans or he blesses them? You know of a business out here, they may not be godly people, but they're honest, they're hardworking, and they do they set the example of what a man should be in business, and that business usually is blessed. I mean, it's God's plan. God's plans never fail. What is forgiveness? Generally, forgiveness is a decision to let go of resentment and thoughts of revenge. The act that hurt or offended you might always remain a part of your life, but forgiveness can lessen its grip on you and help you focus on other positive parts of your life. Forgiveness can even lead to the feelings of understanding, empathy, and compassion for one another, the one others that hurt you. Now, there's my time I see is come and gone, but I had a lot of stuff to cover. Let me jump down the conclusion. Had a quiz. You can look at that. Conclusion. I probably have given you more questions than answers, I'm sure. But I hope and pray that I've been able to stir up your hearts to go looking for answers in the Scripture. Now, I'll end with Luke, the 17th chapter and 3rd verse. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee. Now this was the instruction. It said, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Got to be repentance. I didn't get saved until I repented. Neither did you. Ask a desire in your prayers, brothers and sisters. Satan has a way of reaching everybody's lives. He knows how to get to us, you know. But God has the plan for all of it. I'm not saying it's an easy project to forgive. As I said, I've been wrestling with it. I'm trying to find out what's right, do the right thing. And so I ask for your prayers. God bless you.